How Africa, Asia, and Latin America are leaving the European Union, at least in the world of Facebook. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. European politicians will get a chance to grill the CEO of Facebook later today. Mark Zuckerberg's testimony in Brussels is prompted by that scandal surrounding that third party, Cambridge Analytica, using Facebook user data for political ends, using it improperly, Facebook has repeatedly said. Well, listen to the timing. New European privacy protections involving data go into effect this very Friday. Following this is Jane Wakefield, a tech reporter for our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
The timing is quite key here. One of the things that will happen, I think, at the European questioning that didn't happen at the US Senate hearing is that they will drill down in the specifics of this because they're very proud of their general data protection regulation. It's generally seen as a good way of getting people's data protected. It's going to be copied by regulators around the world. So they will be asking Facebook how it plans to be in tune with this new regulation.
And those new rules actually go into effect late this week.
They do indeed, yes. One of the first questions I think they will put to Facebook is why the organization moved 1.5 billion of its users, that's 70% of the total Facebook base of users, out of GDPR jurisdiction. So previously, if you weren't in the US or Canada, your jurisdiction was Facebook Ireland. They have now changed that and moved those people that are international players outside of Europe back under the jurisdiction of Facebook Inc. in the US. So I should imagine one of their first questions would be, you know, why when Mark Zuckerberg says he takes GDPR very seriously and wants to sort of emulate it in the new Facebook terms and conditions, have they made this move for people to not be covered by it?
All right. A central question for 2018, data privacy. Jane Wakefield, BBC tech reporter. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Want to check the markets. The 100 share index in London is up about 0.2%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2% as well. The NASDAQ future up 0.4% on this day after the Dow rose just under 300 points, 1.2%. You and me, American households, owe $13.2 trillion in the winter quarter. That's a record high. Indications are that many Americans are handling this okay. Consumer debt levels are stabilizing, according to the New York Fed's quarterly household debt report. But there's a warning sign when it comes to credit cards. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Yes, Americans are carrying a lot of debt. But Michael Pierce at Capital Economics says keep that in perspective.
The overall debt is a share of disposable incomes is around 90% or so, well down from the peak of 115% in 2007.
Pierce says delinquencies are on a downward trend or flat for most debt categories, like mortgages and student loans, not so for plastic.
A rising share of households are having problems paying off their credit card debt. And I think this can be linked to the recent surge in market interest rates we've seen.
Credit card rates tend to be based more off short-term interest rates, which have started to soar. Analyst Matt Schultz at CreditCards.com says rising credit card delinquencies could be a sign of things to come.
It is scary that Americans are piling up all this debt while economic times are good.
Because it means they probably aren't saving for the bad times. And with the Fed on course to keep raising interest rates, that credit card debt is only going to get more expensive. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
China has been leaning on airlines around the world to refer to Taiwan as part of China. The Associated Press checked, and 20 carriers, including British Airways and Lufthansa, are doing what China wants. There's a deadline in a few days to change the websites and the verbiage. The Trump administration criticized that order, calling it Orwellian nonsense. In this college graduation season, we're returning to our year-long project called Divided Decade, the financial crisis 10 years later. What we did was we found class of 2008 grads who got their diplomas right as the economy was crumbling beneath their feet. We asked them to share lessons about the job market with this new class of 2018. Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Audrey. Nice to meet you.
We put together a gathering at the University of Central Arkansas, bringing alumni from the class of 2008 to dispense some wisdom to brand new graduates. It got real in a hurry. 2008 graduate Paul Kroger, who studied film and communications, says he started out making half what he expected.
And I wasn't prepared for the amount of time it was going to take to be able to move into that earning capability.
So Kroger took a risk, moving from one city to the next in the telecom business. Studies suggest that mobility helps you boost your wages. It's a better option than staying put, in general. Still, 08 classmate Chris Fettis, an English major, chose to hunker down in Little Rock. He worked at an HR firm and then the state university.
Maybe somewhat as a product of graduating into that environment, I was maybe more reticent to take a risk.
Take what you can get is the alumni advice. Even though the job market today is far better than in 08, new grads still face some challenges. Machines replacing people, outsourcing. Senior Morgan Sweer, a pre-med major, says this job market reality is new to her.
I have many friends who applied for one graduate school or one job, and they're just a little bit more picky about it.
Classmate Angelina Marconi, an exercise science major, finds the advice motivating. She's about to emerge from what she calls the college bubble and assumes job life will get hard.
And I think that's a really important lesson and value that however much we try to plan it out perfectly, it's not going to go that way.
In fact, graduating senior Audrey Bauman is planning for a struggle. She studied creative writing and linguistics.
Well, it's going to be rough to find work at least for a couple years and maybe eventually get better. I guess my fear after graduation is more that like it'll be that way forever.
Perhaps a more realistic fear is starting in a less desirable job. One measure of that, the underemployment rate for young college graduates, is higher today than a decade ago. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
If you want, you can see portraits and learn more about our grads then and now by consulting Instagram at MarketplaceAPM. All of our divided decade project coverage is at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.